Welcome to Writing and Publishing with Dumbold Bob. Thanks for joining us for this episode. Let's get started. Ahead of us, not too far in the future, even though it does seem like it is a stretch down the road, I hope to have dozens of episodes shared with you. In addition to material that is about to become more focused and specific, I'm also sorting out ideas for guests and have seen moments where feedback has directly led to content. I am well aware that the 10 episodes opening this effort have brought about a generalized view of some things, and that's a fair enough critique. But in looking over my notes, considering the material and topics I plan to cover, and then reviewing those opening episodes again and again and again, and also keeping in mind some of the questions that I've received, I keep coming to the same realization. Once there's more content in place, an extended introduction like we've had is going to make sense. Because there are some things I needed to put together to set the stage. There are some things that I felt were important to address, and there were a few things that I think led to why I had such an extended introduction of 10 episodes of material to lay the groundwork. There is a lot of content that needs to be developed and placed in the future, and we're going to get to it. Today, we're wrapping up a two-part episode on the subject of writing. Once done, we will be moving into the major areas of publishing and then into the actual process of bringing a book from ideas to shops. We've got so much more to share, and I appreciate you joining us for it. Spelling counts. It's obviously a familiar saying for most of us. It's also a simple way of summing things up. Spelling counts because, well, of course it does. And I've said it before, I will be saying it again. But there's more, because, well, of course there is. Writer after writer, project after project, questions and answers and meetings and more, I stumble across a simple reality. Many writers don't understand that spelling counts. Seriously. Oh, sure, you're saying you're different. You know it matters, and I believe you and your defense of your work. But, okay, I am convinced that there is much about the process of producing a book that lulls a writer into a false sense of confidence. It's a feeling of encountering the familiar. It's a way of being so certain about what should be happening that what is happening gets totally missed. We'll get into it a bit more later, with far more examples, but just consider this. We know that as professional writers looking to realize published results, that editing the manuscript and designing the cover are part of the process. That seems easy enough. Care to guess where my experience shows writers encounter the first waves of get your book published scams and losses of money and you should have known better scenarios? Yep. Let me help you edit this. I have a friend that can do the cover art for a fee. We know we're supposed to get assistance editing our work from an outside voice and professional opinion. So when it gets offered, far too many authors let their guard down. Now let's shift to the idea of spelling and be a bit more specific, or at least be a bit more general. When I say spelling counts, I do in one way mean it simply and directly. It's a reflection of good communication, and simply put, it's a basic way of saying quality matters, and self-published efforts are not, on the whole, respected for the level of quality to be found. But it also means more. For instance, when you present material to someone, anything from contacting an agent with a proposal to the full manuscript heading off to a publisher for consideration, you have handed over a reflection of yourself. Was it submitted on time? Because you've demonstrated whether or not you will meet established deadlines. Was it submitted as requested, by format, say, the printed package sent along or a file attached to an email, or the length, or so on, because you've demonstrated whether or not you will follow guidelines and requests and be someone they can work with? Was it written properly? Or did it have obvious, massive, countless errors because you've demonstrated how much work will need to be invested in editing. And potentially even more dangerous, you may have demonstrated that you don't fact check well, and the details in your writing are now open to question and accuracy in doubt. People are going to judge you, justifiably and with the evidence you provided, beyond the literal spelling when grammatical errors and bad research become involved. That's not good. In the movie Bull Durham, one memorable scene talks about shower shoes. The ones presented are dirty with fungus on them. Lead character says, when you deliver in the major leagues, dirty shower shoes make you colorful. In the minors, you're just a slob. And to shift the summary from the movie and apply it to us, act like a professional and you will not only deliver professional results, you'll begin to develop a reputation as a professional. Someone that challenges every request, wants to do things their own way, has mistake after mistake in the information they present, can be colorful as an author. But more often than not, that author is actually just a slob. Spelling counts is way more than knowing how to spell. Your process, your writing, needs to be a reflection of that. I've been referring to this in the previous episode as writing when it comes to a subject. There's an argument we could call it communication instead, but if we were going to make a sarcastic response, I'd say this isn't communication and publishing with dumb old Bob. But the bigger idea comes around to what I said about labels and content. It's a big world of writing, regardless of how we break it down and regardless of the categories we find within it. A more to the point idea is that you need to be aware of how quickly things develop, evolve, adjust, react, and move when it comes to writing, all while essentially staying the same. Let's go back in time, say 40 years, 1985. What if I looked at you in 1985 and told you that in not too long a period of time, we'd be reading books on an electronic device about the size of an index card? Today, we'd quibble about that too long a period of time meaning something different, or maybe that our phones are thicker than index cards, but the general idea is not open for debate. It's true. We read books, watch video, and take pictures with our phones. And what's more, it's become virtually a given that when you talk to someone about their phone, you'll do it assuming it's a smartphone. So today, what if today I said that within 10 years, you could be driving your car, say, hey, dashboard, take dictation, or some identifier and phrasing like that, and not only could you organize story notes or make a list, you could rattle off a draft of a chapter or two or more, and then have the car's digital assistant email it to you. The only real debate there is whether or not you know enough about settings and available apps to be able to create that reality today. Times change quickly. If technology can change, and seemingly it is swirling around with new hardware, software, and creative ways of using them arriving by the minute, we'd be silly not to understand that language, communicating, writing is changing. Or at least capable of change. And that's one of the elements I'm bringing up here in the past few episodes. Find your consistency, because those skills will help you navigate changes. And for this, not writing is structure, but rather to tell our stories. It's how we can present our material overall, in general, whether we do or not. And it's how we present our material in reality. Are you going to try and publish? Are you just going to have a personal website where you share it? Are you trying to develop it for social media? Are you going to use it for developing visually presented content? And before you wonder for too long why it matters, in 2003, I started my website, inmybackpack.com. And in 2025, I'm working on a total renovation of it. The goal when I started was a text-based idea. Share my essays, share my writing. Not worry about perfection, because I told myself some of it was getting content released and some of it was forcing quantity over quality, and some of it was something else. Over the years, the website developed into travel and interviews, new content including pictures breaking the walls of a text-based site that eventually grew into photo galleries. I added an area to cover efforts in arts and crafts and more, as my limited knowledge for tech stuff made this the easiest way of bringing in complementary designs material for a presence on the web. Then I released some books, added a newsletter, and now podcasts. I did not think, back in 2003, that podcasts and audio content would be a part of my writing world. And even if you said audiobooks to me, that would never have really covered the ground of where we are today. We're covering writing at this point in sort of an extended disclaimer fashion, so you, the writer, the author, the content creator, can have some wilder thoughts and approaches in mind while still respecting the generic catch-all that spelling counts. Writing. Change. It would be, at best, naive to approach your work thinking that quality only will determine your success or failure. Still, you can control quality, and quality has a lot to do with how you will be received, from recognition to reputation to assorted other ideas. What I am trying to say is it goes beyond that, and it's up to you what aspects you will pay attention to. Shouldn't you at least give them a moment of consideration? Let's say we're working on a book and thought an electronic edition was an absolute yes for the plans. Have we given any thought to hyperlinks? You're writing a book about the greatest historical lighthouses of the American East Coast. Wouldn't it be cool to include links to images or official websites? Is that something you want to be doing after the fact, as a putting the final touches on the manuscript effort? A time when you would be especially sensitive to consistency, trying to make sure you didn't miss something, and yet even more prone to make a mistake as you searched for different locations within the manuscript to place things because you did it at the last minute. Or, you know, since some of your research may have even been done on the official sites, would tracking and storing the addresses from one of the initial stages have been a time saver? That's just one place where the quality of your work doesn't involve spelling, does involve writing, and could be compromised by a half-assed and rushed approach. You need to understand your needs, have a plan, and realize that things change all the time. After all, communicating to the best of your abilities is what your writing should be about. We can argue about the details. All of them. I'm open for a good debate. But I'm still going to hold to the foundation of writing being communication, bringing information from one place to the next. For a visual idea of this, just like the cars being built in the 1950s and the 1970s look significantly different than those being built today, the words we use as we communicate and the form they take, and any other definition you wish to apply, how they're assembled and presented will change. Far too often, we not only place things in a perspective as to how they look from our viewpoint, we exclusively and without exceptions apply our perceptions and opinions to things and act as if that's the only way. But people speak different languages. People that speak the same languages have different ways of speaking, from accents to word choices to more. And if you aren't sure about that, well, bless your heart. And yes, if you didn't get that joke, that was a joke to prove my point. So go look up Bless Your Heart and understand that an appreciation for the sincere and the sarcastic can dramatically shift the intentions from the smallest of phrases. Writing is a beautiful thing. It's also far more complex than the spelling. been listening to Writing and Publishing with Dumb Old Bob. This podcast is brought to you by Parkside Backpack Productions in partnership with In My Backpack. To learn more about me, this podcast, and my writing, visit the In My Backpack site today at inmybackpack.com. I was assisted in the development of the podcast by Justin Gillen, Jay Gillen, and Karen Chapel. Justin is a phenomenal musician, and he wrote, played, and recorded all of the music we use on our podcasts. Jay is an extremely talented artist that has been delivering great work on projects with me for quite some time. In addition to all of his designs and efforts for Dumb Old Bob, he also created the iconic logo for In My Backpack. Karen is a creative, motivated, thoughtful woman that has been delivering countless exceptional technical results and ideas for our productions and has been a driving force in bringing our podcasts to reality. And while I would love to take all of the credit, the truth is, if you are enjoying the Dumb Old Bob podcasts, the talents and contributions of these three are playing a significant role in us being able to accomplish that. I invite you to send along your questions, suggestions, and comments. We have pages on several social media sites for Dumb Old Bob, and you can also reach us by sending along an email. Thanks for stopping in for this episode, and check in with us again soon. Backpackville, we're all friends here. Until the next time, have a great day.